Hey, you guys, this is Chatity. Decided to come in into It's Just Too Much. Had a topic on my mind to kind of talk about today. And my topics are always going to be conversational based. But I was talking to a friend, and she and I were talking about single parenting. Huh. And the conversation arose about why do you have single mothers who do not pursue child support for their children? Now, my take on it was, I am so not about to chase after you, be back and forth to court, to get you to pay child support for a child that you know exists. And then I look at it from the aspect of, if I am already the sole provider for my child, then I am not going to take off work day after day to be in court when you don't show up, when it has to be continued. I'm missing time from work. I'm missing time from my career. I'm missing time from the means at which I use to take care of the child. And if I'm missing time from my career, my job, my business, then that's money away from my child. And I just don't have the time to be back and forth with people, men or women, who know that the child exists, who knows that it's their responsibility to be financially responsible for their child. So ultimately, for me, I feel as though I'm not going to make you do something that you already know that you're supposed to do. I'm not going to force you to take care of your obligations. So then the question arose, what if you're in a position to where you can't do it? You can't afford to take care of the child. You're struggling to take care of the child. What do you do with that? And I was flabbergasted because I really didn't have an answer. For me, I've been super fortunate to be able to take care of my children exceptionally well, financially. And then I start thinking about all the single parents who just can't. The single parents who are working two jobs just to make ends meet, or the single parent who is just trying to make it. And so I started thinking about that from their standpoint of things. Like, so I may be in a position to where I can take care of my children financially, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and lead them on the right path. But you do have parents, single parents, who cannot do that. And so with that, let's just, so I decided to do some brief research about single parents. So there's nearly two-thirds children who were born to mothers under the age of 30. Two-thirds of children were born to mothers under the age of 30. And today, one in four children under the age of 18, a total of 16.4 million, are being raised without fathers. And of all the single parent families in the United States, single mothers make up majority. Now, this was a census that was completed on, or statistics that were completed on June 14, 2019. Now, I'm not about to bash men and say, you know, all of the deadbeat parents are men. I know that's farther from the truth. I have so many friend guys who are single parents, quite honestly, and doing a really great job at it. So I know that single fathers exist. So I don't want to bash men. So I look at this from the aspect of single parenting, period, because I am aware that there are single mothers and fathers who are doing the best. They're taking care of their children. They're fulfilling the obligations to make sure that their children become productive people, adults, and they have the mental capacity to ensure that those children are productive adults, successful adults, morally responsible adults. But those are my friends. But there are some people or some single parents out there that just sometimes they don't have the financial capacity to take care of their children. Sometimes they don't have the mental or spiritual capacity to lead their kids, guide their children in the right direction that they need to go to become productive, successful adults. And so I started thinking about those children who are now children will become adults who, if they don't seek out knowledge, if they aren't placed on the right path, they will continue the cycle. But anyway, I digress. I wanted to speak from the heart. I want to speak what I know. What I know to be true is that when you know better, you definitely do better. When I had my daughter, I was 30. I was married, 30, and I had my first child. But at 32, I found myself divorcing with a toddler. And I was so afraid of not doing it right. I was so afraid of not being able to lead her and guide her to become the best individual that she can be. And although her father has not been consistently responsible for her mental well-being, for her physical well-being, for her emotional state, for her financial well-being, he's not been consistently responsible. I forged ahead to make sure that I lead her in the direction to which I felt like would put her on the path to becoming a well-rounded adult. And I made some mistakes. Then I had my son. And I thought that I made the best possible decision when it came to choosing his father. I have learned that it is so imperative to do what is best for your child, to ensure that they are mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, productive, adults. And sometimes you have to remove the negativity. And sometimes that negativity comes in the form of the other parent. And granted, you don't ever want to not allow your child to be able to have that experience with the other parent. The hardest thing I have had to do was to say that I will give you the opportunity to be the parent that I wished that you would be for my child. When you fail at that opportunity, when you fail at that chance, time after time after time and time again, when do you say enough is enough? When do you decide that your child's mental well-being is so much more important than allowing this person to continue to disrupt the pattern? That is the hardest decision that one parent has to make. That is the hardest decision if you're truly concerned about your child's well-being. That is the hardest decision to ever have to make, to remove a parent from your child's life. Sometimes it's necessary. Sometimes it's warranted. Sometimes it's definitely needed. It's needed. It's necessary. It's needed sometimes. Because when you allow consistent negativity that comes in the form of the other parent to stay in your child's life, that negativity will connect itself to your child. Do you really want that? Do you really want that negative energy to be connected to your child? Because inevitably, that negativity will become anger. And then here you are with an angry adult who, if they're not given the tools to understand or handle that, then they become angry, unproductive adults. And then you wonder, should I have allowed that to continue? That was the hardest thing for me to ever have to decide, to remove a parent from my child's life. But it meant my child being mentally stable. The mental instability that sometimes the other parent brings can cause more harm than it can good. When you have an adult that is not an adult, it's difficult to allow that person to continuously disrupt things, the pattern to keep your child, or the pattern that you have set to keep your child on the right path, to keep your child grounded, humble, spiritually connected to a higher being, to God. When you have a parent that disrupts that, is it okay to make the decision to remove that parent? Is it ever okay? Some people say, no, it's not okay. Some people say, no, you should never do that. So basically, if I should never do that, I'm supposed to allow my child to consistently be around negativity, even though it is in the form of their parent, the other parent. I'm supposed to allow that. So if I am allowed to remove negativity from my life, my child's life, in the form of anyone else, why can't I remove that other parent? Why can't I decide that my child's life is more important and more significant, and I have to protect the gift that my child has by removing that parent? Why can't I decide to do that? Why would I be the bad parent if I decided to do that? But these are some of the decisions we may have to make as single parents. This is because everybody doesn't get the great dad. Everybody doesn't get the great mother. Everybody doesn't get the to co-parent easily and have that work. Everybody does not have that opportunity. And when you don't have that opportunity, you have to decide. And you have to look at the bigger picture. And sometimes, people, that will mean you have to let go of that other parent. You have to remove that other parent from your child's life. And who's to say? Maybe 2, 3 years down the line, when you feel like the other parent has made significant strides to be a better person, to be a better parent, to be more positive force in the child's life, you can invite them back in. You can allow them back in. I'm not saying to remove the parent permanently. I'm just saying sometimes it's needed, folks. Like sometimes you have to remove the parent. And if we're willing to remove negativity in the form of anyone else, why can't we remove it when it comes to the other parent? It has to happen sometimes, and you may not agree with me, but I promise that's not fair to the child. And with the statistics that we have, with the single parents that we have in this world today, those are decisions that sometimes have to be made, and you might not like it, but it's necessary sometimes. It's very necessary. So at the end of that conversation with my friend, I said to her, "Your situation is not my situation. Each situation is different. Each situation has to be evaluated differently." I'm not saying to single mothers and single fathers that you have to go around and remove the other parent from your life. That would be selfish. That would be selfish. What I'm saying is, if there is a reason, if there is a significant reason why the other parent needs to be removed from your child's life, if that other parent is not conducive to your child becoming successful, productive, morally adequate adults, then I think it's okay. If they're not conducive to being a positive force in your child's life, I think it's okay to remove them. But it doesn't have to be permanent, like I said before. But I think it's a choice that is individually decided. Every situation is different. Every situation is different. Now, I'm not saying go around removing the other parent out of spite. God knows that's not what I'm saying. Each situation is different. And what we have to decide is that our child's well-being is more important. And sometimes, because our child's well-being is super important, we have to make decisions that are sometimes difficult to make when it involves the other parent. So I know that was long. Kind of just wanted to jump on. Thank you guys for listening to It's Just Too Much with Chastity. See ya.